First, our top story today is that it has been 5 years since the Washington Supreme Court ruled that our state was not fully funding education. You've heard that ruling called McCleary, named after one of the families who sued the state. Well, since the McCleary ruling, Republicans and Democrats have been trying to do what the court said, and this year legislators say they have finally done it. They have fully funded basic education. Have they? Let's figure it out. My guests are Daniel Zavala from the League of Education Voters and Summer Stinson, a pro bono lawyer with a parents organization called Washington's Paramount Duty. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Daniel, you say state lawmakers have fully funded basic education. What did they do?
So I can explain what they do, and I can kind of explain the caveat around having fully funded basic education.
Okay.
But In part, what they've done is make a historic investment in education. They've made significant moves towards structural equity by removing some policy barriers that were resulting in pretty significant inequities across the state that were realized across different districts in different ways. And with that, you know, additional investment around kind of moving towards fully funding basic education, the state has taken responsibility for teacher compensation for basic education services. And what we'll see in the next biennia, the next two biennia, is $7.3 billion additional state funds towards education.
Okay, so $7.3 billion more dollars and reducing inequity across districts, which we're going to talk about. Summer, you don't think that lawmakers have satisfied the Supreme Court, right?
Correct.
Why
not? First of all, the $7.3 billion is not all additional money.
Mm.
It is half of that money, or more than half, has just been transferred from our local levies that we all have already voted in and taken on by the state. So they've basically minimized McCleary. And so that $7.3 billion is over 4 years. And according to the state superintendent, $3 to $4 billion of that is just a pure transfer of funds from local levies to the state.
But that has to do with that inequity that Daniel was talking about, right?
Well, and that, no, because part of what McCleary is, it's not just an equity, it's also an adequacy, and it's more than adequacy, it's amply funding basic education. And that's the constitutional paramount duty of the state, is to amply fund basic education. The plaintiff's lawyer has put that as $5 billion a year in new money. For example, even the legislature has said that just fully funding the K-3 class size reduction, which is part of law and has been in law since 2009, is going to cost $1.15 billion this budget.
Well, the plaintiff's lawyer will ask for what they want, but what matters is the state Supreme Court justices,
well,
right? What
makes this you think? And this is the state. This is the state legislature has even said it's $1.15 this biennium, this budget, just to pay for a reduced class size reduction, which is K-3, which is still there. So basically that absorbs a whole bunch of what is considered the money that's been put into McCleary, without even addressing then the teachers and the facilities and all the additional things that have been left unfunded by McCleary.
Okay, help us understand this then. Yes. Daniel, how is there, you're saying there is enough money there to fully fund education?
So what I'm actually saying, and I agree with Summer in that, you know, of the $7.3 billion that the legislature is talking about putting in new state funding, there are some portions of that that were already kind of dedicated. You know, we see about $2 billion of it that's about maintenance or carry forward, so kind of just keeping things operating as usual and keeping up with the additional costs of those things. But we are seeing additional investments into new areas that the state has not provided funding in before. And so in that, we do see that the staff compensation increases. We've seen the state over the last few years already make significant progress toward the K-3 class size reduction in providing additional funds for that purpose. And so when we talk about, you know, satisfying the Supreme Court and whether or not basic education was fully funded, two words that the Supreme Court used were that the funding streams were regular and dependable. And so we actually see that now, because when the reliance on local levies was in place, we saw that it could fluctuate from years, and it was really dependent on the districts and what they were able to do or willing to come up with. And so with the state taking responsibility there, we see a funding source and dedication toward basic education services that is both regular and dependable.
Okay, so the justices will weigh in on whether they think the state is funding education. You brought up this idea of local levies versus a statewide tax. Daniel, the big school districts in the Puget Sound area, Seattle, Bellevue, Lake Washington, and others, their property taxes are going up hundreds of dollars a year, right?
I'm not exactly sure what it would be per district, but it would fluctuate depending on which district.
Why is that happening, basically?
So what the state has done is, you know, set a uniform marker around what would be collected for education. So we'll see $1.50 or $2,500 per student around local levies that is going to be capped. But then there's also going to be difference in the state property tax that's going to be collected. And I think that's what Summer was getting at in terms of the transfer of responsibility around what was collected at the local level is now going to be transferred somewhat to the state response.
Summer, what was the problem with collecting it at the local level?
Well, the state was not fully funding basic education, and so they were only paying a portion of what it actually cost school districts.
Why is that important, the question of where the money's coming from?
Because that's in our state's constitution. We're the only state in the entire country to state in our constitution that our paramount duty, the only time we mention paramount in our entire constitution, the paramount duty of our state is to amply fund basic education, which is public schools.
But is that a technicality, or is there something vital to our school children that the money come from the state and not local levies? What are we getting at that matters here?
What we're getting at is being able to give every child in the state, no matter where they live, and also no matter their circumstances, if they're an ELL learner, if they are a special education student, if they are a student of color, if they are an advanced learner, whatever their circumstances are, that they are going to get a basic education in our state.
So that wasn't happening enough. The system was too unfair from place to place and child to child.
Yes.
And is that going to happen now? Is there going to be equity?
Unfortunately not. And so one example I can give is that Seattle Public Schools pays out $60 million in special education funding per year. They have already figured out that under the new special education formula, which the legislature raised the cap, there's a spending cap on special education, which really shouldn't happen. It's our moral obligation and it is our legal obligation to pay for special education for children who need that. And unfortunately, the cap, while being raised, that is a good thing. The legislature also said is that local levy money can now no longer go towards special education. So they raised the cap less than 1%. But then they took away the ability of districts to use local levy money to help with special education. And so then the concern is what came out from the superintendent from Seattle Public Schools is the same thing with ELL as special education.
What is ELL?
English language learners, thank you. Mm-hmm. For special education, Seattle Public Schools pays out $60 million a year. The state's new formula will only reimburse them for $16 million a year. So that leaves a $44 million shortfall that they cannot now use local levies to help educate special education children. Then it means what the superintendent says is the same thing happened with English language learners and that funding and with transportation. And so now you're in a situation where a district like Seattle Public Schools is going to have to choose, how do they spend this money? Do they spend it on special education students? Do they spend it on English language learners? Do they spend it on transportation, getting kids to school? And those are impossible choices. And that's where it starts to then pit students against students and parents against parents in public school system, which we should not have, and it's not equity.
Okay, is it equity, Daniel? Do you have a different picture of our school funding situation?
So I think it's a move towards structural equity, and I use those words carefully because we don't know what's going to result over the course of the next 4 years as this entire plan is kind of phased out. You know, and I say it's a move towards structural equity because we see the removal of some policy barriers like staff mix or other kind of staffing restrictions or funding allocations that resulted in inequity. And so as we kind of see those policies kind of fully realize the impact at the district level, we'll have a greater understanding. And so, you know, I agree with Summer in many regards around kind of the student supports and our students who have been historically underserved in recognizing that this very well may not be the final answer, right? We don't know quite yet, and we know that there is still continued work on that front in many regards.
Okay, so we're, as we said, this is going to go to the state Supreme Court. Lawmakers will present their plan to the Supreme Court in the next coming weeks. Summer mentioned that a big fix we still need is to remove this cap on special education spending. I want to give you the same chance, Daniel. What is the next big fix we need in the way we pay for schools, in your opinion?
It's a great question, and I'm sitting here trying to kind of rack my brain and think about what is kind of the most important thing as we move forward. And really, I think it aligns with what Summer was talking about around the student supports, around what we're doing to make sure that every student is getting the targeted resources they need and that those resources really do flow to the classroom.
Okay, so in coming weeks, lawmakers will say, here, State Supreme Court, this is what we've done, and it's up to the court to decide whether the plan fully funds education. And we don't really know if the court says we're to say no, then what? Then what does the court do? You know, in some places, there's been school shutdowns. There's been, right? Theoretically, the state Supreme Court should say, look, we're just going to make that money flow. We're going to turn off these tax exemptions and just bring more money into the schools. I mean, this is really a mystery in this state as to how this is going to work out. So that is coming in the coming weeks, and we'll follow that with you. We've been talking about this with Summer Stinson, who is vice president of Washington's Paramount Duty. That's a grassroots organization of parents advocating for the state to properly fund education. And Daniel Zavala is the director of policy and government relations with the League of Education Voters. Let's watch it together. Thanks to both of you.
Thank
you. Appreciate it.
And finally, one note on the state budget. When Governor Inslee signed the budget less than an hour before midnight on Friday, June 30th, that kept our state government from officially shutting down, a fate that New Jersey did not avoid. Their legislature didn't reach a budget. State offices have been closed all day today. State beaches were closed all weekend except for their governor, Chris Christie. One of his official residences is on a beach where he was photographed getting some sunshine with friends and family and nobody else because the beach was closed. And you'll hear about the fallout from that later this afternoon on KOW's All Things Considered.